Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a privilege to be speaking to you today, and if not physically with you, then on our live stream. And thank you again to the members of our team that have made it possible this week to do this. And Happy New Year to our Farsi brothers and sisters. And while we couldn't celebrate on Friday in person, we are with you in spirit. Well, this is different, isn't it? This week, I've had a renewed sense of the privilege it is to meet together physically as church or as family and friends. We sometimes reflect on the situation of the persecuted church who are not able to meet in great numbers or in public, and we pray for courage for our brothers and sisters in those circumstances. And while we're not persecuted at this time for our faith, the COVID-19 crisis has restricted us for the time being in a way that is uncomfortable, inconvenient, and unsettling. Even if we know it's for the well-being and protection of many, for the sustaining of our health services, this is a new season, a new reality we are getting our heads around slowly. And it's normal in these circumstances to feel worried, concern, sadness, and anxiety. But we want to be a people that are drawn by hope, not driven by fear. As human beings created in the image of God, we are wired for relationship. And physical proximity is an expression of the community that we long for. The church has always been a people who gather physically. It's an expression of us being members of the body of Christ. And one of the most significant and culturally challenging behaviors of Jesus in his incarnation was his proximity to others. He was in the marketplace, the synagogue, people's homes, the temple, in crowds of thousands. And he was also close to those who no one else would go near to. Although we trust in God's power to bring healing, and we continue to intercede against the spread of the virus, we also honor those in leadership of our nation at this time, our government, the scientific and medical communities, and we respect their wisdom and knowledge that God has sown into creation and his people. And so we physically distance ourselves from one another at this time. And in all this, it's natural for us to mourn this loss of physical closeness. I know that I do. And I think God mourns with us. But we believe in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by the Spirit of God, God remains close to each one of us. For those of us who trust in Jesus, there is the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as a deposit, a seal, a foretaste of the future hope that Jesus has won for us in his life and death, resurrection and ascension. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in the here and now. God is close. God is with us. The Holy Spirit can strengthen our sense of community, connection, and intimacy in the coming months. God is not socially distancing or physically distancing himself from us. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the psalmist says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." In John 14, Jesus, in preparing the disciples for his death, reassured them of how he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In Romans 5, Paul encourages the church in Rome to boast in the hope of the glory of God, a hope that does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is close. God brings peace. We have a hope that does not disappoint. For those of us who follow Jesus as Lord, we are being challenged and called afresh to respond to this new reality in faith, in hope, and in love, in the power of the Holy Spirit. To be a people that are drawn by hope, not driven by fear. This week, our staff and ministry team and many members of our congregations have been planning for this next season ahead. And I'm so grateful for team at this time, even if it's on a computer screen. It just brings me so much joy to talk with different people. And we're still learning in this, but we're expectant that God will meet us in our homes, as we meet online on different platforms, and through the practical service we offer and partner with in our local communities. It's been fun to share our knowledge, to learn new skills. Lizzie has had a crash course in social media this week and has become a one-take wonder in shooting videos on her phone and on camera. She now understands what it means to tag someone or to tag St. George's on social media. You're welcome, Lizzie. Only for the tagging on social media. Al and others have been great shooting videos for us. I was reminded this week of Paul's practical guidance on how to live as a Christian community in Romans 12. And it struck me that Paul is writing to a church that he neither founded or ever visited. He is physically distant from them, as he was when he wrote many letters to the other new churches. He hoped to visit the community in Rome, but he did not know when or if it would be possible. I don't know if that sounds familiar at the moment. I think if Paul had had access to Zoom or Facebook or Google Hangout, he would have been straight on it. I don't know if I would have wanted to meet Paul on that forum, but I think he would have been there. Yet Paul's physical distance did not lessen his emotional or spiritual concern for the people, or his relationship with them. He longed to see them in person. And to the Thessalonians, he reassured that while he was torn away from them in person, he was not torn away in heart. So Paul appeals to the church in Rome, by the mercies of God, to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, their spiritual worship. And now, more than ever, we can offer ourselves to God in worship, wherever we are. We can spend time with God each day in quiet, in prayer, in singing, and in service. We can allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds and not be conformed to the fear, the anxiety, and the speculation of the world. As Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to be able to test and discern the good will of God." For us, that might mean limiting what news and updates we listen to and watch at the moment. Not to ignore the present crisis by any means, but to place it within God's hope and love, allowing us to respond in love and not be paralyzed by fear. Social media at this time is a gift, but it can drain us, and I know that I've found that if I'm on too often. So choosing to limit what we consume at the moment can really help us focus on God and on looking after one another and bring us well-needed rest and relief. You might, as a small group or as a household, decide on times where you will be on social media and times when you'll put your phone down and do life a little differently. Paul is immensely practical in outlining what it means to be Christian community. And the encouragement to treat one another as equals in Christ would have been countercultural in the competitive survival of the fittest Roman culture. What we are witnessing in our society at the moment, I think, is a rediscovery of Christian values of treating others as you wish to be treated. And my prayer is that the love the Lord your God part of that will also flow into our society as well. While the church in Rome would have been able to practice Paul's instruction in physical proximity, we're called to practice this at physical distance. And our bishops in Leeds have helpfully reminded us that while we're required to physically distance, we're not called to socially distance, as is the new phrase in our vocabulary. So let's look from verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. So at this time, our love for one another must be genuine, rooted in the truth that we love because God first loved us. There is enough love to go round at the moment. We hold fast to what is good in our communities, our nation, what's good on social media, in our government, our health services. We champion the good and we turn away from what is evil, from selfish greed, from the spreading of fear and falsehood. We call it out for what it is. We choose to not stockpile. As Archbishop Justin Welby has said this week, there is no Christian justification for hoarding more than you need. And it can be a struggle to resist that temptation to care for yourself, for your own family. Many of us have seen the empty shelves in supermarkets this week. The sense of lack increases and fear rises, even though we don't actually need any more food than we did 2 weeks ago. So instead of stockpiling for ourselves, we are called to outdo one another in showing honor. So we honor those who are older in our community. We honor those who need extra support, those in our lighthouse community, those working in the health services. We can honor publicly online. We can support practically, giving to food banks and other organizations. We're patient as the food industry adapts to new delivery services. We support local businesses where we can. I was up and down Otley Road yesterday in Headingley, shopping for different things locally. We contribute to the needs of the saints and indeed all people, not just our church family. This is a practical love, a practical hope, and a practical faith. I think verses 12 to 16 are an invitation and challenge to both ourselves as individuals, as small groups, and as a whole worshiping community at this time. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. How can we make sure that our zeal, our passion and enthusiasm for God is not slothful? That our spirit is fervent? That we're serving the Lord? Our daily devotional life on our own, in our households and with others online is vital at this time. Yes, we want to be practical in our love and our service. That is the fruit of our faith, the good works that overflow from the love of God and point people to the Father. But we must fuel this devotional life to fuel everything else. It fixes our eyes on Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. That's who we fix our eyes on, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our love for him must be stoked and fed in these coming weeks. We must be grace-filled and hope-fueled so that all we are, all that we do, and all that we give to others is from God's strength, God's love, and God's power, so that we can sustain this new rhythm of worship and life together. That's how we'll sustain this new reality and preach Jesus in these times. Then we'll be able to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contributing to the needs of others and showing hospitality, even if that's putting a laptop on your dinner table and having dinner online with someone else. Our ministry team and others will be praying twice a day on Facebook, as Lizzie's mentioned, from the St. George's page, and we hope that many of us will set that as a rhythm for the days ahead, to be fervent in prayer. We want to be fervent in prayer all the time, but it's especially important now. We look forward to sharing stories of how you're contributing to others, how you're stoking that devotional life in your household, posting them online, tagging us if you need some help. Lizzie can tell you how online. And sharing those more and more. If you're self-isolating at home or at home on your own, this doesn't mean that you are excluded from this passage and these actions. You can pray. You can pray fervently, maybe more than others who are doing different activities or at work or looking after families. You can be on the phone to another person who'd love a conversation. You can coordinate serving opportunities. And you can worship and sing to our good God, proclaiming truth and hope into the world rather than fear. Everyone has a part to play. So we have this opportunity to live peaceably with all at this time. And I think a lot depends on us to do this. We don't know what the next few months will hold, but we know that God holds us. God is the only consistent in this. Where else can we go, literally, but to Jesus right now? The church has always been flexible and adaptive, and we in the UK might have had a longer period of doing things the same way. And now is the time to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, to praise God for his goodness and be the church. God is close. He brings peace. We have a hope that does not disappoint. This week, we've already seen hope in our Lighthouse community. Several men with underlying health conditions who cannot easily socially distance as they don't have the funds for the electric in their homes have been provided with a kettle and a mobile phone each and their electric topped up if they need it. The Lighthouse COVID-19 action plan has already been shared with other agencies, both Christian and secular, who've acknowledged it as an example of good practice. We are serving our city. Praise God. He is at work. We continue to pray for our Lighthouse community and ministry. And John is also sharing, John Swales, daily reflections from their Facebook page as well. I close now with some encouraging words from our diocesan bishop, Nick Baines, who wrote to the clergy this week, and you'll see I've drawn some of his hope today. We are drawn by hope, not driven by fear. Our trust is in the God who raised Jesus, and we walk with grace-filled and hope-fueled hearts, following this same Jesus who gave his life for us. Our scriptures also call us to keep joy alive when the desert threatens to dry us out, looking for the songs of hope and singing them for all to hear. So let's keep singing, keep serving and keep praying, and let's be the church. I invite you, if you're able to stand even in your homes as we worship together. We're going to wait for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to move among us. The Holy Spirit is present within us, in our homes, wherever we are. You might want to put your hands out as if to receive a gift. And I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to wait for a few moments of quiet. Father God, we thank you for being able to worship together online. We thank you for your call for the church to be the church. And as we wait on you, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, and move among us.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.